And by the way, I need to share a blessing with you. This missionary was served steak. Amen? I think you should do that to every missionary. It's right there on Acts chapter 16, isn't it? So I didn't want you to feel like, oh boy, I wish I was in the children's church. We'll share a missionary story with you tonight as well, okay? And we'll have some pictures. Hopefully we can stay all awake during this Monday evening service. But as we have it up here, let us think about the words. This is actually a quotation from the Old Testament, from Joel. Paul writes, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe this verse? Do you really believe this verse? I'm not asking if you believe it with your mind. I'm asking if you believe it with your life. Do you truly believe that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Let's ask some questions of this Bible verse. The first question is who, and then we have this whosoever, which means anyone and everyone without exception. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord is promised salvation. No one is denied. No one is rejected. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how tall, how fat, how old. Anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, the promise is, shall be saved. Do you believe that? Head to Walmart nearby. What's the Fleet Farm? Blaine's. I knew there was a B. As you see people, normal people from Illinois, strange people from up north. As you look at them, do you truly believe that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? If we believe this verb, we have to believe that those who do not call upon the name of the Lord shall not be saved. They're condemned. They're lost. As we go about life, do we truly believe that those who do not call upon the name of the Lord are not saved? As you see people from all walks of life, anyone and everyone, because God so loved the world. And he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, our very same word here, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Who? Anyone and everyone. What? What? First of all, notice the word saved. It's a reference to salvation. It reminds us that we're all lost and condemned already, and that we all need to be saved. We need to be saved because our sin separates us from God. And in that regard, we're all together, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This word saved shows up in some verses that we know really well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The world needs to be saved. There's 230 million souls in Brazil. There's over 1 billion people in India. There's 1.3 in China. There's over 300 million people around you, most of which speak the same language you do. He sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, because the world was condemned already. He sent his son into the world that the world through him might be.
Ephesians chapter 2, for God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Verse 8, for by grace you're saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those who do not call upon the name of the Lord will not be saved. They're lost. They're condemned. Eternally separated from God. Our media and our culture wants to see people by the color of their skin, by how much melanin they have on them. Perhaps the world wants to see us by the language people speak, English or not, foreign or national. But that's not how God sees people. God sees two kinds of people: saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, lost and condemned. And we need to do the same. We need to look at people the way God sees them. Are they saved or are they lost? And if we see and find out that they're lost, we need to remind ourselves that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, say it, shall be saved. I received some difficult news from our church in Brazil this morning. But I received some very, very encouraging news this afternoon. About 4 years ago, we received an email that we needed to help a young lady who was stuck in Brazil. She knew no Portuguese. She had fled from her Christian home, and she was being abused by her boyfriend, and she feared for her life. She was so desperate that she was willing to be helped by a missionary whom she had never met. So I took someone from church, drove 2 hours to rescue her, brought her home. 18-year-old girl. She had done everything one can think of as in terms of sin. Her father had disowned her. For 10 days, we shared the gospel with her. It took me a hard time to convince her father to take her back. I said, I can't keep your daughter here forever. It's your daughter. He was finally convinced to pay for the tickets. She wrote us this afternoon and said, I don't know if I ever told you, I got saved in your home in Brazil. I'm getting married in 32 days to a wonderful Christian man. People need to be saved. And I wonder if we have forgotten about that as we have sheltered ourselves as fundamentalists. As we have tried to protect ourselves from the world and from everyone, I wonder if we have forgotten that people are lost and need to be saved. What? Salvation. Salvation to those who call upon the name of the Lord. What does that mean? Pastor explained Sunday morning, reading of chapter 10, verse 9. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Paul himself explains it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe, that's the word for faith. English doesn't have a verb from the noun faith. Ever thought about that? We have the noun faith, but no verb. We could have created a verb to faith in Christ. Anyone who faiths in Christ will be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and faith in your heart that God raised him from the dead, here's the same expression again, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, men have faith, men faith or believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Paul is letting us know that in order for a person to be saved, they call upon the name of the Lord, but they can't call upon the name of the Lord if something hasn't happened first in their hearts. If they haven't first believed in their hearts, their mouth will not speak it. But of course, once the heart believes, the mouth professes it. For the scripture saith, whosoever, verse 11, believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Perhaps for this evening we can say there's no difference between the American or the Brazilian. There is no difference. Amen? For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call him. And then he quotes Joel chapter 2, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who? Anyone and everyone. What? They need to be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord. How? If we all agree that people need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing first in their heart in order to be saved, how are people going to be saved? And then Paul asks four questions to get us to think about the process. Okay. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. First question. How shall they call on him in whom they have not faithed or believed? If they don't first believe in their hearts, they're not going to call upon his name. They're not going to ask to be saved. Second question, middle of verse 14. How shall they believe in him? How shall they put their faith in him? How shall they faith in him of whom they have not heard? Sometimes we have this romantic idea that people will pick up a gospel tract on the parking lot of Walmart, that they will read it somehow. Somehow on Facebook they will see something, or somehow along the way they will see someone riding on the cloud. I think we were in Florida when I saw a little plane riding with smoke, Jesus saves. That was quite neat. But they never answered the question, how? Yes, Jesus saves. How? By seeing the cloud on the sky? So Paul asks the question, how are they going to believe in him of whom they have not heard? Paul is reminding us that people need to hear the gospel message in order to believe it. Third question, how shall they hear without a proclaimer, an announcer? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? They can't. How shall they hear without someone announcing it? Now, sometimes I wonder if God couldn't have made angels proclaim the gospel to every person on earth. Angels are not limited by space. They can just show up in someone's house. So God could have angels simply show up in everyone's living room, and bam, they could share the gospel with every lost person in this world. But God in his sovereignty has chosen the foolishness of the proclamation in which one beggar tells the other beggar where he has found the bread of life. How shall they hear without someone proclaiming it? So think about your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives, the cashier. At Blaine's or Walmart. How are they going to hear without someone proclaiming it? Last weekend we stayed in a hotel for the weekend. The hotel was 1 mile from the church, First Baptist. I checked out Sunday morning, so the lady said, "Are you going to have some fun?" I said, "No, I'm going to church this morning. I'm actually preaching there this morning, the First Baptist Church. Ever heard of it?" She says, "Never heard of it." I'm thinking, you should. It's a great church. They don't preach the gospel, but it's a great church. Very, very small town. Smaller than Roscoe. How shall they hear without someone preaching? There's a fourth question. How shall they preach except they be sent? Now we're thinking about the people who live far from you. people in places that you cannot go and reach. How are they going to preach if they're not being sent? And if they're not going to preach, how are the people going to hear? And if they're not going to hear, how are they going to believe? And if they're not going to believe, how are they going to call upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved? This evening, I wanted to illustrate these concepts through a missionary story. I wanted to share a story with you of Garnett and Fern Trimble. Anybody ever heard of them? For many years, they were based in Eau Claire, in that state north of us. And this story comes from a book called Punching Holes in the Darkness. It's actually a Baptist Mid-Missions publication. Garnett and Fern Trimble chose as their mission field, or were called to a very special mission field. They were originally from a small town in Minnesota. They were originally from the town of Bemidji, Minnesota. Now, do you know where Minnesota is? Okay, great. Most people don't. Think of Minnesota, two-thirds of the way up, that's Bemidji, a small town in the middle of nowhere. I learned that Garnett and Fern Trimble got saved as they heard the gospel preached to them by the First Baptist Church of Bemidji, Minnesota. After a few years attending that church, the Lord called them to a very special mission field. So they left Bemidji, Minnesota to go to the mission field of Brazil. They arrived in Brazil on March 20, 1937. Coming from a small town in Minnesota, they encountered a very different world in Brazil. The Lord called them to northern Brazil. So they left one of the coldest cities in the U.S. and went to one of the hottest places in the world. I got to go to the northern part of Brazil. I couldn't stand the heat. It's so thick. There was air conditioning in the bedroom, but by the time I got to the kitchen, I was soaking wet. I can only imagine what these people from Minnesota faced in 1937 without electricity, without a fan. Upon arriving in Brazil in 1937, the Trimbles faced immediate trials. Garnett suffered a stroke in 1938. It was soon followed by a second stroke. Eventually, it was found out that the strokes were being caused by a parasite that had lodged on Garnett's neck. Kind of gives you an idea of the kind of life they faced in northern Brazil. They went to the northern region of Brazil, as I said, and perhaps you can see on this map, this dark shade of green is the Amazon jungle. It is the largest rainforest in the world. CNN promises that it's burning away. It is not. CNN also promises that it's the oxygen or the lungs of the world. It is not. Forests consume their own oxygen. We get oxygen from algae in the sea. So don't believe CNN. Don't even watch it. Amen? The Lord called the Trimbles to the Amazon region of Brazil. Now, why did they leave Bemidji, Minnesota to go all the way to the Amazon region of Brazil, 1937? Because they believed that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And they believe that if people did not call upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved, that they were condemned already for all eternity. So they left the comfort of their home in Minnesota and went to northern Brazil. They traveled along the Amazon River and its affluents, and they traveled on a little cattle launch or cattle boats. I honestly don't know how they learned Portuguese, but they went to Brazil with the goal of reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. In 1942, the Trimbles heard of a group of people that live way up in northern Brazil. Can you see this yellow shade in the map, this lighter shade? Way up in northern Brazil, can you spot it there? Perhaps you can see the name of the city called Boa Vista. Boa Vista is actually in the northern hemisphere. It is north of the equator. It is the northernmost state in Brazil, and it is north of the Amazon jungle, and you can see the Amazon River there as well. They heard that the gospel had never been preached in Boa Vista in the state of Roraima, and just north of that, you can see the country of Venezuela. Do you see that all the way up there? Was that a yes? All right, thank you. Just checking to see if you're still with me. In 1942... now, along with their daughter, Grace Ann, they came to Boa Vista. It took them 10 days to make the trip upriver. They brought Bibles, New Testaments, gospel tracts, books, and a small portable organ. They started having services outdoor, and as soon as they started having services in the small town of Boa Vista by the Amazon River, they started facing persecution from the Catholic Church and the Catholic priests. The Catholic priests organized a procession against them and persecuted them. They lived in the back of a bar and ate meals wherever they could. Despite the opposition, in 1942, they discerned that God was calling them to have a permanent ministry all the way up in northern Brazil. So the Trembles moved to Boa Vista, Roraima, northern Brazil, 1942. They were able to buy this building that functioned as their home, church, and Christian school. Now, in 1942, a terrible accident took place in the life of Garnet Trimble. Let me read to you the telegraph his wife sent out in 1942. Quotation marks. Garnet fell from the roof, breaking his arm and dislocating a vertebra in his neck. Unless a plane takes him to a hospital, we will come down river by launch to Manaus. Manaus is the capital city of the Amazon. Garnett's condition was too serious to move him down the river in the cattle launch. His breathing was impaired due to the dislocated vertebrae, and his death seemed imminent in a place with no x-ray equipment and no orthopedic surgeon available in the Amazon jungle of Brazil, 1942. So they began praying. Now, what's happening in the world in 1942? War. It just so happened that across the border in Georgetown, British Guiana, the U.S. had a military base. So they reached out to the space and wondered if they could help. And the very next day, they were on their way to pick a Garnet up and take him to the hospital. They had an army hospital there. They carried him on a makeshift stretcher the 5 blocks to the airport, repaired a bed on the floor of the plane, and took him off to the army base. There, Garnet was placed in the hospital with a tension cast on his neck, lying flat on his back for 6 weeks. As soon as Garnet recuperated, he returned to Bemidji, Minnesota. Yes? The story reads, as soon as Garnet was able, he went back to Boa Vista. Why? For the rest of his life, he had excruciating migraines. He never fully recouped from his broken neck. He had a speech impairment. I was actually able to meet Garnet later on in life. He was one of the most boring missionaries you can ever meet. He had a hard time speaking. But as soon as he was able to, he went back to Boa Vista. Why? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As he returned to Boa Vista, the Lord blessed their efforts, and among their very first converts was of the ministry in Brazil was a couple named José and Maria, Joseph and Mary. They trusted the Lord in the early 40s. And José and Maria were among the very first converts. They had six kids who had a very rare privilege in Brazil. They were born into a Christian home. And they had the privilege of hearing the gospel very early on. So all six kids came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. José, Maria, and six kids called upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. How? They heard. And as they heard the message preached by the Trimbles, they believed. And as they believed, they called upon the name of the Lord. And when they called upon the name of the Lord, they were saved. Among those six kids, there's a young boy there. Perhaps you can see that red arrow. His name is Geber. It comes from the Old Testament. It means soldier. Maria was reading the Old Testament and picked a name. Geber was born in 1947 and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 1953 through the ministry of the Trimbles. At the young age of six, he had the blessing of calling upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Geber, this younger boy, also became a missionary himself. This is another picture of his family there, born in Boa Vista in northern Brazil. And this is a picture of him as a missionary, also with Baptist World Mission. And that's my father. You see, in 1937, the Lord called a couple from Bemidji, Minnesota, to go all the way to northern Brazil to preach the gospel to José and Maria Coelho, my grandparents. My father is also a missionary now. He was born in Boa Vista in 1947 as the Trimbles preached the gospel to him. He's still serving Brazil. He's set to retire this next year. He was saved at the young age of 6, and he became a missionary because he wanted to do for others what others had done for him. The Lord opened the doors for my father to come to the U.S. to study. So in 1973, he left São Paulo, Brazil, to come to the U.S. to study. And the Lord sent my father to Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, I honestly don't know why God gave us a Minnesota connection. I really wish he had given us a Hawaiian connection. I was born as my father was attending seminary in Minneapolis. My father then returned to Brazil, to the city of São Paulo, the third largest city in the world, with a population of about 25 million souls. He too believed that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He found a neighborhood that has no gospel witness whatsoever, and we as a family started looking for a place. More of my father, I was 15, and perhaps you can spot me there. Yes, a lot thinner. Don't mention it, please. Did you find me? I haven't changed much, have I? It's all my wife's fault. 1991, my father started looking for a place to rent to start holding Bible studies. He found this building that had a very interesting setup. This Italian family lived upstairs, and they used to have a family-run restaurant downstairs, but because of crime, they had been forced to shut down this restaurant. Second generation of Italians born in Brazil, very, very stout Catholics. We started holding Bible studies there. They all came down to the Bible studies. I was 15 years old. The landlord, this Italian guy, told his family, "This is our family business. We're going to be nice to them, but we're not going to believe anything they say. We're Catholics. We were born Catholics. We're going to die Catholics." But as he brought his family to the Bible studies, they heard the gospel. And as they heard the gospel preached, one of his family believed and called upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. The landlord's oldest daughter, Patricia. Patricia. She loves it when I make her stand up at this hour. Now, she hasn't changed much, right? Right? That means I take great care of her. Or maybe she has good genes, one of the two. She was saved at the age of 14 as she heard the gospel preached. She was attending the Catholic Church and couldn't fathom why we would pray to Mary and kneel before images when the Old Testament says, "Thou shalt not have images." She was 14, and for 17 years, she was the only person saved in her family. I was 15. As soon as she got saved, I proposed, and shortly thereafter, we got married. Not quite. You're probably not going to believe this, but it took her a long time to become convinced that I was the guy for her. God had to really twist her arm. Her mother liked me first, actually. We became missionaries. Yes, we married when I was 22. She was 21. We came to the U.S. to study. And the Lord impressed upon our hearts the desire to do for others what others had done for ourselves. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Patricia's family was not saved yet. So the Lord sent us back to São Paulo to be near her family, to try to reach her family with the good news of Jesus Christ. Since then, her mother has trusted in Christ as her Savior, and her sister has made a profession of salvation. Her brother and father are not saved yet, but they have heard the gospel. But as we have ministered in the western section of São Paulo, you saw the Lord has allowed us to reach a group of believers who heard. And as they heard, they called upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, how shall they preach except they be sent? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I praise the Lord for the opportunity of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, of giving those people an opportunity to hear. And as they heard, the Lord saved them from their sin. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to plant Faith Baptist Church in the western section of São Paulo. But as you look at the people that we've been able to reach, think back with me to the Trimbles. What if they had never left Bemidji, Minnesota, to reach my grandparents, and then my father, and then me? In many ways, all of those people that we have reached are spiritual children of the Trimbles. The Trimbles' two children, Grace Ann Kintner, and their son as well, became missionaries to Brazil. They still have two grandkids serving in Brazil as missionaries. Last year, I had the opportunity to go to the state of Acre, which is the westernmost state in Brazil, to preach to a fellowship of churches. They had rented this space that could seat 1,300, and I was asked to be the speaker there. It was the largest group I had ever preached to. I came to find out that all of those churches were started by the Trimbles. What a blessing to see the result of faithful, boring missionaries who truly believed that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe this verse? Not with your mind, but with your life. Do you believe that anyone and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? We praise the Lord for the opportunity of planting Faith Baptist Church in São Paulo. We minister in a city of 25 million souls. What encourages us is to know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you consider praying for us as we minister in that large city, larger than most countries in the world, that God will use us so that more people can call upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved? As I think about the Trimbles, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. My grandparents are now worshiping their Lord and Savior because the Trimbles came. Pretty soon, I'm sure my father will be there as well. And soon enough, I will be there as well, because the Lord sent missionaries to reach my family. The Lord sent missionaries to reach Patricia's family with the good news of Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have as believers to be part of that, in seeing people saved. May the Lord use us. May the Lord find us faithful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for saving me from my sin. It is by grace through faith alone, because you loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you for calling and sending the Trimbles so that my grandparents could hear. Thank you for saving my father at the age of 6. Thank you that my father shared the gospel with me very early on, so that I too at the age of 6 could understand that Jesus Christ died for my sins. Father, thank you for saving Patricia. Father, just thank you for saving us. You allowed us to hear and then believe and then call upon the name of the Lord. Father, use us for your glory. You're mostly glorified when people believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Savior. Help us to regain a passion for souls. And as we faithfully proclaim, we pray, save souls, Father. Save souls in São Paulo. Save souls in Roskill and Wisconsin. What a promise from the Word of God. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Only a loving, gracious, and merciful God could make such a promise. But this evening we praise you for that very promise. And it is through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.